This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. The Milwaukee Bucks open their NBA season this evening in Boston against the Celtics. They'll play their first game at the BMO Harris Bradley Center on Friday, but it will be the last opening night in the arena that the team has called home since 1988.
In the October issue of Milwaukee Magazine, writer Zach Brook explores the as-yet-unnamed new arena rising next door, and he joins us in the studio to share his story. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
So you spoke with the Bucks president, Peter Fagan, in writing this article. Can you describe how he describes his vision for this new building?
Oh, yeah. He describes it in fantastic terms. I mean, there is no managing expectations here. He describes it as like 30 acres that become the sports and entertainment capital of the country.
For a minute there, I thought it was a typographical error that he meant to say city, but he really sees this as, to use another arena term, Mecca.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He sees this as just more than an arena where you see the Bucks win 41 times a year. I think he would be part of his vision. He sees it as an entire complex. Certainly the owners see it that way. The developers, the partners, the city leaders, they see it as more than just this arena. They see it as a place where you can go and have a good time, regardless whether or not the Bucks are playing.
Well, so yeah, let's talk about this area outside the arena, because there is just about as much talk surrounding that space as there is about what the inside of the arena will look like. We're talking about 30 acres, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that surrounding area so important, both to the Bucks and to the city at large?
Okay, well, let's start with what's actually done, and that's the training center. So they are really big on the training center. It was, I think, $30 million, but that's all privately financed. I mean, obviously, the public at large isn't going to go in and have the world-class meals that the players, that the athletes get, and, you know, the access to the locker room barbershop. But half of the building is going to be a health clinic. Freidert has stepped up, and they have the naming rights to the sports center. I should probably, you know, give them that since they paid for it. It's the Freidert Freidert and Medical College of Wisconsin Sports Science Center officially. So they are going to bring that in.
That's opening next month, is that right?
Yeah. The clinic itself, the training center is up and running, and the executives also have offices in there. I think like the general manager and stuff like that. Next to that, or across the street from that, there's going to be a parking lot and there are going to be living units. There's going to be apartments. Fagan wouldn't give me an exact number because we are still a year away at minimum from everything being open. But he said it could be as high as low four digits. There's also going to be space for retail. There's going to be his dream. There's no commitment of this, but his dream is a corporate headquarters will be within those 30 acres. And there will be
a corporate headquarters for someone
like 800 to 1200 people. So that's a decent sized corporate headquarters. And that's not including Live Block, which is this party area that's just east of the stadium. I think the overall goal is to add density to this area so that people are go to Bucks games and they go to the other entertainment events that are happening and they shop at the stores.
What do the Bucks get from that?
What do the Bucks get from that? I think they get, you know, attendance. They get hype. I mean, the Bucks are the ones that are managing everything. They're not just in the stadium. The other things are being developed by two LLCs that the Bucks have created to like manage these large scale projects.
So there's a bottom line portion of it for them as well, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. I think part of the agreement to get state financing for this package was it had to be more than just an arena, but they are also benefiting from the things that aren't the arena as well.
Now, remind us briefly of the economics of the arena, because there is a lot of private money here, but there's also local money, and then there is state money as well?
Yes, and I think there's county money. There's $47 million of city money, and then the rest comes from the state and county. Everything in total from public contributions is $250 million. That is a little less than half the project right now. And Milwaukee is paying the greatest share because that's where it's located.
Now, not that the financing of the building was not contentious, but it seems significant that there were lawmakers from other parts of the state that also got behind this project.
Yeah, it does seem that way. When I talked to Senator Tim Carpenter, a Democrat from the Milwaukee area, he was the only legislator in the Milwaukee area, Republican or Democrat, to vote against this deal. He was saying that some of the upstate legislators that would have had a hard time justifying this to the constituents, why should I pay for this arena in Milwaukee? They were telling him, why shouldn't I vote for this? It looks like this is Milwaukee's project. Milwaukee's on the hook mostly for most of this money. Why shouldn't I support this?
So in the interviews that I've done related to the arena, some of them anyway, there's been talk of it as kind of a unifying force, bringing together a lot of different people and entities around the city. Are you seeing that, or is that coming with maybe a healthy dose of PR?
I do think that there is legitimate collaboration there, absolutely. They got Frater to buy into the health clinic that will be in the training center next month. They are certainly looking for naming rights to the stadium.
Yeah, so do you have any insight into how that's going?
I don't. When I spoke with Peter Fagan, he told me they had narrowed it down to three or four, and he wouldn't say who, and I have heard nothing other than that. I think the Bradley Center, or the Bradley BMO Harris came out and said it won't be us. I do know Harley Davidson will be on the Bucks jerseys. That's interesting. They will be one of the handful of teams that have a sponsor on the jerseys.
We mentioned the economics of building the arena. Once the arena is up and running and there's basketball being played in it, what do you know about the inside of it? Like, I think you're right about ticket prices are going to be up, but it doesn't sound like by a ton from where they are at the Bradley Center.
Yeah, from what I'm hearing, that tickets will cost on average $6 more than they do at the Bradley Center. The lower bowl will cost $18 more on average than what they do at the Bradley Center. But Peter Fagan was adamant that 50% or 41 regular season home games will have the majority of the tickets cost $50 or less. So that's what he's saying about that. As far as how the arena is positioned, the big change from the BMO Harris Bradley Center is that most of the seats are in the lower bowl. The BMO Harris Bradley Center was designed to accommodate hockey. And I guess, I mean, I'm not the biggest hockey fan, but I guess you get a better view of the action from up higher. So most of the seats in that venue are up higher. Basketball, they flipped it. So there's going to be 10,000 seats in the lower bowl, and then the rest will fill out the balconies.
This must have been a tricky story to write, given the nature of magazine deadlines and the speed with which developments on the building are proceeding.
Absolutely. I got to tip my hat to Peter Fagan, who shared his vision with me. I got to tip my hat to the Journal Sentinel, who had some incredible reporting on this that helped in the background. And I think I wrote, there's already been one change that I'm aware of. Yesterday, the Journal Sentinel did a big piece on what LiveBlock is going to look like. There's plans for a brewery. There's nothing official, but like there's a building that's being constructed in that area that will be equipped to be a brewery. The original plan was to have it be as tall as four stories. Now the plan is down to making it two. So that's already different. And, you know, these are the give and take that come when you're like realizing a vision that so far exists on like 3D rendering programs and stuff like that.
It is something we can see it from the Lake Effect offices. And it is really something to see it rising up next to the river.
Yeah. I mean, the exterior is what everybody seems to be commenting on the most. I mean, and that's natural. You know, you want to know how this building's going to look from the outside. Is it going to be cohesive with the rest of the city? And, you know, there are open questions as to whether or not it fits, whether or not people like it. I mean, everyone's a critic. What is fact is that the land area that inhabits Park East has been barren for a very long time. It's been, city officials, as far back as I can remember, have been trying to lure somebody into that space. I remember we went through the whole thing, is Kohl's going to move here, about 5-6 years ago. There is something there, finally. So you can say that.
Zach Brook, you've said a lot, and great article. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Writer Zach Brook's feature on the new arena for the Milwaukee Bucks is in the current issue of Milwaukee Magazine. The Bucks open their season tonight in Boston. They'll return home to play the Cleveland Cavaliers on Friday.